Father, I thank you, Lord, for today. I thank you, Lord, that you are Lord of all, that you are in control of all, and there is nothing that you cannot do. Lord, as we come into this space, Lord, no matter what it's used during the week, today it's consecrated, it's holy, it's set apart, and it's a place for us to hear from you. Lord, I pray that we would hear from you today, that, Lord, we would not leave here the way we came, but that, God, you would change our hearts, change our perspective, change how we look at things, and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, go with me to Isaiah chapter 43. And I was thinking, you know, I was thinking a lot about where God has placed us and how he placed us. And I don't know about you, if you believe in love at first sight, but I do. Because not only did I love Ibelsa when I first saw her, I really did. But I can honestly say that I have love at first sight for Good News. God is a genius at putting things together. And when you really think about God really ultimately being in control of our lives, then we know that no matter what we do, when we are walking as best as we can close to him, we're in the right place. And I know we're not all here, but we're here. And we're here enough to hear me say that I'm so grateful for what God is doing, that he would bring us here. Does that make sense? And so I just want to thank you for opening up your hearts to us. And to some, you've known us. To some, we're strangers, but we're family. And so even before giving the word, I just want to say that. And I also want to be very open as well to give you my cell phone if you want it. And I'll, if you want it after service, I'll give it to you as well as Ibelsa's. We're here to serve you. We're here to serve Good News. And if there's anything that you just need a call or help or something, we're here. Okay? So you can have it after service. Isaiah 43, we're going to be in a three-week series simply called A New Thing. And I love this verse of what Isaiah is giving to us. And we're going to read this, verses 18 through 21. And I want to encourage you that in the next 3 weeks that you really camp here and you really read through these verses during the week. And one thing that I need to press myself more for, we used to, hopefully we do in children's ministry, but as adults, we need to memorize scripture, right? We really do. It's so important, because when things come up and you're like, gosh, I know it's somewhere, or doesn't the Bible say, wouldn't it be great or better to say verbatim, right from the book and scripture, this is it. So I'd like for us to be in these verses the next 3 weeks, and I'm going to break these up into obviously three different, you know, messages and so forth, but let me just read it and then we'll begin. Isaiah is saying, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Can I read that again? Let me read that again. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Isaiah was really, prophesying, as we know, to the nation of Israel. And when we look through the Old Testament, they're not too different from us. Have you ever had a relationship with God where you feel very close to Him and then not so close to Him, that your relationship with God may seem almost like a roller coaster where it's up and down, ebbs and flows? You feel like when you pray that God hears you, and then there are other times that you pray and you feel like He isn't there. And the problem with Israel was that they always wanted to go back. And where did they want to go back to? Egypt, to their past, to what they knew, to what was comfortable, to what was ingrained in them. But we also know that Egypt is really synonymous with bondage and sin and slavery and all these things that they were under. And yet God was wanting to set them free and deliver them and bring them into the promised land. But even generations after that, isn't it amazing how we are still tied to the past, right? We're always tied to the past. I know somebody that loved to go to a summer camp and found out recently that that camp was sold, and they demolished all the camps and all the cabins and everything that was known, as the camp. And not too long ago, they went to visit the camp, and everything is gone. Everything is completely gone. And yet, they still want to live in the past of remember the good old days, remember when we were at this camp, remember when. And yet, it doesn't even exist anymore. And we do that in our own lives where we always go back, whether mentally or in our memories or the good times, and they may not even been good times, right? I'm not mean not getting hassled, not getting... Okay, nobody knows that. Good times. Thank you, Peter. I appreciate that. Finally, it came on. But we want to go back. And Isaiah is speaking to Israel and saying, it's time to go forward. So what we're going to do in the next 3 weeks is look at our thought life, and that's in the first verse. Next week is our perception life. What's our perception? And then finally, what is our praise life like? Our thought life? Our perception life, what do we see, how do we see it, and what's our praise life like? And just a mental note, praise is not just on Sunday mornings, right? Praise is all through the week. Praise is when, you don't feel like praising, but you offer a sacrifice of praise. So let's begin in our thought life. So a few questions for you to think about this morning. I want you to get to thinking. A few questions are, have you ever thought about your thought life? Have you ever thought about your thought life? Do you think about your thoughts? What I mean by that is, when you are thinking a certain way, have you ever come out of that thought pattern and thought, why am I thinking this way? Right? Where it's like you could be thinking of like complete panic, disaster, You know, all why do we always go to the bad things in our minds, right? We're always thinking what the worst scenario could happen. But then when you pull yourself out of that and you think, why am I thinking that way, right? You know, we need to understand that we really are a triune being, aren't we? Spirit, soul, and body. You ever thought that way? That you have a body, right? Everybody have a body here? We have a mind or our soul, our emotions, our mind, and then we have a spirit. We're a triune being. And oftentimes what we forget is that our spirit man, now that we've been renewed in Christ, is that we, the spirit man in us, is in control. What do I mean by that? Is that when we are thinking thoughts that don't honor God, don't glorify Him, go against the things of God like worry and fear and doubt, that our spirit man needs to rise up. That's why we need to memorize Scripture, so that our spirit says, knock it off, mind, right? Or we can overcome the temptations that our physical bodies have. There's a lot to get into, but it's just thinking about our thought life. Why am I thinking that way? How do you think? What as or does form your thoughts? We all come from different backgrounds or upbringings, and you think a certain way because maybe you were raised that way to think that way, cultural. Maybe experiences. There are things that I've experienced that you haven't, you have that I haven't, that form who we are, how we think. And nothing is right or wrong. It's just who we are because of how we have, you know, gone through life. But when you think about what forms my thoughts, can also be what am I feeding on, right? What am I watching? What am I listening to? You know, in the whole cycle, the news cycle, you know, what am I paying attention to? How did that thought enter in? You understand what I'm saying? We are so conditioned by the world or who we hang around with or all the things that we expose ourselves to that cause us to think a certain way. So why do we think that way? Maybe it's our past. Maybe it's hurts. Maybe it's upbringing, culture, like I said. Many different reasons of why we think the way we do. So in the very beginning of this portion of Isaiah, he says, to remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Isaiah is speaking to the nation of Israel, to God's people, and is saying, remember not the former things. I was reading this week about the mind. The mind is unbelievable, isn't it? And I it's oxymoron because I forgot. But there's a part of your brain, if anybody knows it, that is only for memories. And I hate that I didn't write it down and forgot it, but it is this tiny little part of the brain that calls memory. And memory can be triggered by smell, right? You ever been somewhere and you just have that, there's something waffling in the air and it triggers you back to something. I was in Moscow, Russia many, many years ago, and whenever I see red tulips, it triggers me back to Russia because we were on a mission trip and they treated us like we were celebrities. And wherever we went to high schools and different things doing skits and stuff, and they had what's called the Kenegijizi. It's the four gospels. Wherever we went, we were treated like rock stars. It was like amazing, you know, but you had to deflate and, you know, but they would give you red tulips wherever you went. And our hotel room was full of red tulips. So there are things that trigger our memories. And Isaiah is saying that we've got to really be mindful and remember not and not consider the things of old in order for God to do something new in our life. And I don't know about you, but I want God to do something new in my life. And, right? Amen. Thank you. I love amens. Because one thing I understand about God to my very finite mind is that he's always performing, always doing. And what God does, because he is the creator, is he's always doing something fantastic. And he's always doing something new. And he's always doing something so incredible. If I would just stop thinking backwards, or thinking of the old, or thinking of how it used to be. But I asked the Lord in all authenticity, say, Lord, would you help me to stop thinking about the past and start thinking, Lord, what do you want to do today? What do you want to do in my life now? And Isaiah is saying two very prominent things in this first verse here of Isaiah 43:18. He says two things. Stop thinking about the past. And number two, stop thinking about the past. Remember not, nor consider the things of old. I'm so grateful you have that on the screen. Because if you're a learner, some people need to see in order to learn or experience it. So that's great. But he's really saying the same thing twice. Remember not and consider not. You know, when God is saying things a couple of times, he's trying to what? Get your attention. And Isaiah is saying, stop thinking about the past. Hello, stop thinking about the past. Now, obviously, there are wonderful things in our past and things that we need to recount. I hope one day that my wife, Ibalsa, can share her testimony of recounting what God has done. We need to do that, right? Recount our past of God's faithfulness. But there's another thing about always living in the past and thinking about the past. And oh man, those were good, because that was Israel's problem all along. Always thinking how good we had it back then. How wonderful it was. Remember how great it was? And the reality was that they were in bondage. They were in darkness. They could not be even who God formed them and created them to be. God had something greater for them. Am I speaking to anybody? God has something greater for them. God has something extraordinary for them. And the very first thing that Isaiah, God's mouthpiece, is saying, if you want God to do something new, then stop thinking about back then. So here's a few encouraging verses for us. Philippians 3:13, Paul says, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And if we could just do that, one thing you're going to hear me say over and over and over again, and you're going to get sick and tired of it, but you're just going to hear it again, is that we need to read our Bible slowly. And by that I mean that we need to be more meditative and letting it soak in. There's a great old pastor of mine who says, if you want the word to get in you, you need to get into the word. If you want the word to get into you, then you need to get into the word. It is not just how many verses did I read and we check it off, but is the word really in you? We need to read our Bible slowly and really see, really understand through the help of the Holy Spirit of, Lord, what are you saying to me? Paul is saying, one thing I do, forgetting. God, you know, I want to move forward in you. I know you have great things ahead of me. I know that you have a promise and a plan for me. Here's another one that Paul says, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Where has the division come in the body of Christ, in our nation, in so many things, is that we're not thinking right. We're thinking about negative things or things that are happening in our world that are so horrible. When over and over again in Scripture it says whenever we come together that there should be a song, a hymn, an encouraging word, Paul is encouraging the Christians in Philippi to think about what's honorable. Think about what's excellent. Think about what's lovely. To just stop and think about what is God honoring? What is God glorifying? To get our mind, or what some have even said, to check our stinking thinking. You know, why are we thinking that way? Lord, help me to think in a way that honors you. Paul also says in Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. That is another very constructive scripture, because to me, when I hear set your mind, it's like setting an alarm clock. It's intentional. There's intentionality to him saying to set your mind. In other words, when you begin to have a bunny trail in your mind, you need to slap your hand on your forehead if you have to and say, no, I've got to change that thinking. I can't think that way because it'll only get me depressed or worried or anxious or, right? We know all that. And Paul is saying to say, be intentional about why are you thinking that way. And one of the greatest ways that we can set our mind is getting into the Word, or putting on some worship music, or changing who we hang around, right? Staying away from toxic people. Oh, I said that. You know, where we really, do I really need to think that way? Set your mind, being intentional. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. That's another very intentional verse that Paul is saying. Not only set your mind, but also when your mind is going off, and isn't the mind crazy that you're thinking fine and then all of a sudden you think about some crazy thing? Like, he says, now take that captive. That every time that your mind would drift into fear, you need to control that and hold that captive and say no. And even if you need to talk out loud, you know, it's okay to speak to yourself, just don't answer back. You know, we need to say, I'm not going to think that way. There's no reason for me to think that way. And to hold that thought captive. One of the most glorifying ways that we need to understand where our thought life is we're in this room today. Why? Because we love Jesus, right? You love Jesus? Raise your hand. We love the Lord, don't we? And the Lord says in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God. And he says it so, again, very constructively. You know, I'm so grateful for how Scripture is and how the Lord speaks to us in ways that we can get if we're really leaning in. He says, how do we love the Lord? He says here, with all your heart, with all your soul, and he says, and with all your mind. Do you know that one of the greatest ways of reflecting a loving life toward the Lord is through your thought life? Right? And to really say, Lord, I love you so much that fear will not get a hold of me. I love you so much that worry is not going to take a hold of me. I love you so much, God, that I'm not going to allow anything to become even an idol in my mind. I'm going to be very clear and constructive about what's coming in that would cause me to think a certain way. God, I want to love you with all my mind. So our thought life is extremely important. We can get tangled in the thoughts of, I'm a failure, I don't matter. The list of the devil's lies are long, aren't they? Right? Can I get an amen? They're long. Because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And where does he come first? Usually our brain. Right? And he'll try to come into your mind. But then you hold that thought captive. And you say, no, I'm not going to allow that to come into my mind. These are the thoughts that will hold us bondage. Hold us hostage from growing in Christ. Stepping out in faith. Going on a God adventure, or believing God for him to do something new in our lives. So let's start doing Ephesians 4:23, to be renewed in your mind. My go-to Bible is always the ESV, but the Amplified says it so beautifully. In Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in your mind, and the Amplified says, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Isn't that cool? To have a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And Paul is saying to not walk in the futility of the Gentiles, but I had to really look up the word futility. Does anybody know what futility means? It means to be useless, pointless, and fruitlessness. See, I want to be fruitful in my mind, too. I want to be God-honoring in my mind. God-pleasing in my mind. And yeah, we're humans. Our brain will kind of, you know, to anybody who drives, you know, you can drive and you're thinking about, you know, some crazy, strange thing, and your body is on autopilot because, you know what I'm saying? That you can just be driving and then, but you're thinking about some, you know what I'm saying? We do that all the time, where we're in autopilot, but our mind is, it's over there in France. It's somewhere else. But we need to say, no, I can't allow my mind to drift off into thinking that this or that or something that doesn't honor God. There's a great author. You're going to hear me quote him a lot, but John Piper, he has a great book. And you know what it's called? Think. It's just called Think, and it's great. And he's talking about how important it is to really think about God, think about his goodness, to have our minds just always enraptured with God's goodness and his attributes and who he is, and just thinking about God. But he says in this book, I simply mean that when all is said and done, the work of thinking led me again and again to worship, which really brings what I'm hopefully to communicate in the next couple of weeks here, that when we are thinking right, we're praising right. Does that make sense? And when we come to church, or we come to a place where we are saying, God, I want to meet you there, then we've got to really ask ourselves, you know, is my mind in the right place to worship God? Right? Is my head in the game, like they would say? You know, am I all there? Jesus said to love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. To put everything in. Because when we're thinking about God, we're thinking about his goodness, because a lot of times we, like, maybe you've seen it before, that we have already what we've been praying for, but we forget, don't we? We take it for granted. We think oh-hum when we've been praying for the job that we have. Or we were praying for a place to live and we're living in it. But we forget the goodness. We need to think and change our thinking again to say, Lord, thank you for what you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you've provided for me. Thank you, Lord, that I was with someone very dear in the mental hospital for months, and just going and seeing her and just thanking God for a mind that is clear. Right? We have so many things to think about. And when we think about the goodness of God, it only leads us then to say, all I need to do is just worship Him. Amen? So I wrote this prayer down, and I wanted to read it to you. And it's just a way to reflect about where our mind should be. Let me read the prayer. Lord, cleanse my mind from all the entrapments of the enemy. Set my thinking free from the past. Renew and strengthen my mind to have the mind of Christ, that I would love you with all my mind daily. In Jesus' name. And you need to say, Lord, would you just take control of my mind, that I would have the mind of Christ, that I would honor you in the way that I think, and that, Lord, you would be glorified in my mind. Sorry, Peter. And that you would just clear my mind of all the things of the world that try to crash into my mind, and all the things that are going on circumstantially. And that, Lord, you would just really clear my mind to think about you. This may seem different, but you got a different pastor. So would you just put your hand on your head? And would you just pray, Lord, touch my mind. Help me, Lord, to think in a God-glorifying way. Help me, Lord, as we begin to navigate these verses in Isaiah 43, 18 through 21, that God, help me to do what you're saying, to consider not the things of old, but to have a fresh thinking and to think on you. That every time that fear or worry or panic would come in, God, that you would just help me to think thoughts that glorify you. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name. Amen.